I don't know that I've sung that hymn before. It wasn't one I chose, but one thing I find really interesting about that is, did you notice how a lot of that hymn was based on there was no room in the inn in Bethlehem? I always find it interesting when God brings together things in our lives and one thing confirms another. I teach three-quarter time at the Jarvis Christian School, an elementary school, smaller school, and every class had to do a mural for the Jarvis Lights Up that's posted so that it can be seen from the outside as part of the whole city putting on more Christmas lights and so forth. The theme we were given, a strange one, was No Room in the Inn. That was one of the six scenes that were put up, six Advent themes. And so we had an interesting time decorating a doorway and all kinds of animals and people around it. And then at the bottom was printed, we printed very clearly, there was no room in the inn, but make room in your heart. And I think it's a real blessing when we have ways that God reminds us of what he's showing us and what that means. Yes, indeed, there was no room in the inn, but make room in your heart. Make room in our hearts for the Lord. Just before we pray and have our scripture reading for this morning, the theme for this morning's candle was joy. Now, there are different themes that can be used for Advent on the different Sundays. This is a very common one. We have different themes for different candles, and this is the third one. This is the pink candle. It always falls third in it because it's sometimes referred to as the angel candle. And one of the key verses for it is Luke 2, verse 10. Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. That's what the angels said to the shepherds. So a little further on that theme, I'm sharing more a little bit about light and about peace. They can also be used as a theme for it, but I found it really interesting in looking up the theme of joy because Luke 2 verse 10 says, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. Luke 2 verse 10. But in Matthew 2 verse 10, there was another foundation for joy. And that was the wise men after they left Herod in Jerusalem. So going from Luke 2 verse 10, Matthew 2 verse 10, the wise men had followed the star from the east a long way to get to Jerusalem and talk with Herod about where the newborn king was. Well, he wasn't there. Herod didn't know. And then finally Herod found out that that was in Bethlehem. So then, of course, the wise men left Jerusalem. And I'm sure they wondered, well, how are we going to find the newborn king? Well, the wise men, when they left Jerusalem, the star reappeared. And the star went right to being over top of the house where Jesus and Mary and Joseph were. And then in Matthew 2, verse 10, following the theme of joy, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. So the theme of joy comes from the good news that the angels had to share of the great joy with the shepherds, Luke 2, verse 20, but also what the wise men would have felt much later when they left Jerusalem and were overjoyed to be able to be led right to where Jesus and Mary and Joseph were. And then they were not simply joyful or rejoiced. The Bible tells us they were overjoyed. Let's come before God in prayer as we prepare to read John 1, verses 1 to 12 and 9, verse 5 for this morning's message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, when we read your word, I pray that you would guide us, because from your word so often we hear your voice, your Spirit's leading. Lord, from your word you remind us of how we need to draw close to you. Sometimes you remind us of things we need to change, things in our life that we need to confess, things in our life that we need to respond to. But Lord, so often we come needing hope and peace, needing light, needing the joy that can come only from you. And so I pray, Lord, that as we stand before you with who we are, with the different needs that we have, that your word, your Spirit, working in our hearts and lives, Lord, would transform us, change us into the people you would have us be. And Lord, we also realize that we're part of a great company, of a great host of Christian churches, whether it's in Whitby, in Ontario, across Canada, or across this world. And we pray, Lord, for your Spirit's leading in this Advent time, leading as we look forward to your return as well, not simply celebrating the birth of your Son, but your return. So help us to be a people, Lord, who wait patiently and who serve, knowing that one day, Lord, you will come, and all that what we've done for you, Lord, you know and you see it already. Lord, we thank you for being able to come before you with clean hands and a pure heart. Guide by your Spirit's leading, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. From John chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, and then turning to one simple verse, John 9, verse 5, the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not understand it, or the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor a human's decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we've received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." And then from John 9, verse 5. Jesus said, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." May God add his blessing to all who hear and read and apply his word. Have you been outside much on a dark evening? What we see around us is so dependent on the light that we have. Whether it's the light from the moon and the stars, the light from a street light or a campfire or a flashlight, or light in different ways. I've worked a night shift for one year when I was in university. I was on call at a group home. And so when I get called in for a night shift, especially if I didn't have a chance to prepare, it sure would sometimes seem like a long evening. There were things to do, but not always. It always depended. Waiting for the morning light. When I was in high school, at the end of my high school days, I had a summer that I had a factory job. And again, three shifts and working at night. Waiting for that time in the morning, shortly after 6 o'clock, before 6 when the light would begin, and then a little while later when the full light would be there. Two nights ago in Hagersville, there used to always be a Christmas parade in Hagersville. The last 2 years, they've just had a couple of fire trucks, a couple of police cars, and then one large float that would come through with the wind. Several things were canceled last night, including some of that, but 2 nights ago, they did half of the town. And while we were waiting for that float to come, which our grandchildren from our oldest son, a 5 and a 7-year-old, Carter and Emma. While we were waiting for it to come, we could hear the sound of the sirens. And then after a little while, we could see the flashing of the light. And we would talk with them about stories about parades that they had seen with their parents or had been to years before. But sometimes it's a long wait. Sometimes there are storms. Sometimes there's waiting for that light. I can't imagine the people of God who had that 400 years of waiting in that intertestament time without having any word from prophets, without having going from one generation to the next, just waiting. But we read that they were waiting for a time of peace without Roman rule. That was hoped for. They had many verses of scripture that they hung on to. But a time is coming when the people walking in darkness will see a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light will dawn. Hope, light, out of the darkness. Waiting in hope was one of the Advent themes, waiting patiently for Christ's return, but also waiting expectantly. Not passive watching, but watching for God's activity, pointing it out, looking back, waiting faithfully, but doing what God calls us to in service. Not simply waiting, but active waiting. I met with a group of people in Hagersville 2 weeks ago this past Monday. Sometimes I do preaching once or twice a month as well at the Hagersville Christian Reformed Church. I've got a couple of people in my family that, like a couple relatives, parents of my daughter-in-law, and a cousin who had gone to that church before they were part of the Jarvis Church. And when I was there, as I met with that group of people for a congregational meeting, they had a sense of hope and encouragement and positive expectations. And when I heard some of them speak in a church with probably about half as many people that come as come here on a Sunday morning, I was challenged that such a small group of people who have suffered so much physically and in numbers and with young families not being there, many of them had left during the COVID time or before that, I was really moved by the way they shared the hope that they had. As a couple of them shared some good things that others in the congregation had shared with. At Camp Shalom, I was really encouraged too, I thought, as working with the board there quite closely. 2 weeks ago, we had a meeting, and this past summer, they had a record number of day campers. But how challenging it is to consider what that would mean for next year. Will they do as many of those mobile camps? Something like a vacation Bible school, but more of a day camp at several churches. They had had 3 very successful ones, one in Mount Hope, one in Brantford, and one in St. Catharines, working with one of the Christian Reformed churches and 2 of the Reformed churches there, and the mobile camp that they had at camp. How challenging it is to plan for staffing and finances, to plan for more or less of these, to plan for how that will work, because a lot of those were done for just the first time. But you know, I'm always impressed when I take a look at your congregation, when I take a look at Emmanuel Reformed Church here, when I take a look at Camp Shalom and some of the people who couldn't go to the fall fair and yet gave, when I think about the Hagersville Church that I've gone to at least once or twice a month and helping a little bit with visiting, with preaching, I'm always impressed by the generosity of people who give to missions and to the church. You have done praying and encouraging of each other. You've shown love and care for those who were sick or in the hospital or recovering. I hear people talk about some of the blessings and the challenges that they've had before and after the service. I hear about those visiting each other or those who share a patient ear or a caring voice. And on this third Sunday in Advent, when I think about waiting for the light or waiting in peace or the joy that came to the wise men as they saw the star and they knew God's leading to the Savior. God was leading them directly to where His Son was born. Or when I think about the joy, the great joy that the angels shared with the shepherds so that they were the first guests, the first visitors, the humble shepherds to see the newborn King. People waiting and yet looking forward. People also celebrating and remembering, even though yet not in the full way that we'll do when I'm sure a lot more of the COVID restrictions are over. We wait for things to get back to normal, yes, but let's also be people who wait for the second coming of the Lord. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You know, sometimes it's what's happening politically. Sometimes it's COVID or the indigenous or the global warming issues. Yes, in a lot of ways, we are children of death. We see death around us. I see so many people who are struggling physically. And when I think of my daughter-in-law's grandfather, was told that he's got about 30% of his heart capacity there. My father was told, too, that any time, because of the lack of blood flow that he has, he takes more blood thinners, but basically a stroke or a heart attack is more than overdue. Those are hard words to hear. But when we hear about those challenging issues, we need to pull up verses just like the people at the beginning of the New Testament and of the Old Testament did. We have to realize, too, that this verse came before Christ was born, and it said this: to us a child is born, to us a son is given. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then we need to take a look at creation. We need to see that creation yearns for the return of the Lord, but also see the new sun that comes up every day. It comes down to this: in him was life, and that life was the light of man. You know, I enjoy putting this together sometimes with the teaching I get to do. A little while ago, I taught a unit about light, about plants. And was it ever interesting being reminded that sunshine through photosynthesis in a green plant turns the waste air and oxygen from people and from animals, carbon dioxide and water and nutrients, into something living. God uses his creation of the green plants to bring life. It is light that brings life. And if we can see this in the creation around us, why can't we see it all the more in the light of Jesus Christ? His light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. What I find interesting, and I did this morning in the scripture reading too, in all of our Bibles, when we read, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it, there's a little A in our Bibles there, because the word that's given there for understood can also mean overcome. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. The light of Jesus Christ is always an overcoming light, and sometimes is not even understandable. Sometimes if you take a look at your congregation, or I take a look at some of the challenges that some of the schools face. I've got another daughter-in-law that teaches at Providence Christian School. My son is at Calvin. I don't know how two of my kids end up being teachers, but they should have had a good example from their father. Maybe they just decided that would be a good way to enjoy sharing God's word or having the summers and March break or Christmas off. I'm not sure. But one of the buses in their school, they had a child with COVID on it, and that affected one of the classes as well. Many of the schools in our areas, the Christian schools and the public schools, they don't say it very publicly. You hardly ever hear about it, but in many of the schools, it's this month, this class has 2 weeks off, and then a couple weeks later, another class has a week off, and then the Brantford Christian School, they were closed for a whole week as well. It's still going around. We don't hear about it as much, but we certainly hope and pray that his light, his leading, numbers would go down and kids can get back to normal. His light is incomprehensible. And sometimes it's the people who have the biggest challenges. You know, like as I visit with different people, sometimes you visit with someone because you know they're sick or they're ill or they're having chemo or radiation or different things like that. And you visit them and you get the biggest encouragement as you hear about the faith that they share and have. We need to share the light and the hope. Here we are. It's hard to believe that not this coming Saturday, but a week from Saturday, is Christmas Day already. May this be a time when perhaps we see more family and friends or people we don't see as often. May this be a time that we share the hope that we have, that we share the invitation we have. Let's not have this be a Christmas go by and say, oh, I wish we would have read the Christmas story when we had our whole family together and be reminded, or pray for one another during that time. So, without the light from God, there is really no present or eternal hope. John 1, verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Let's not be like Matthew 5, where that person who has that light is told, don't hide it, don't put it under a bushel or a basket. Put it on its stand so it gives light to everyone in the house. He must shine in us to give us life. But he chooses to shine through us to give light to others, to let his light shine out there. When I hear some of you talking before and after the service, or talk with Tony or some of the others, I know that you share God's light with your family and with each other. But let's make sure that this is a season when we do that particularly. We haven't had a bad fall or winter yet. Who knows, we might have many days coming up. They're saying we might have much more snow than other years. Make sure that when you take a look at the prayer corner in your bulletin, or when you hear about new consistory members, or when you think about the consistory, or when you think about people in the church, that you are people of prayer, of hope, of light. I've seen some of the numbers from the mission giving that your church does, that Emmanuel does, that the church in Hagersville does. And I say, what a blessing it is to share. But let's remember that 1 Peter 4, verse 11 tells us the real source of that. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God gives. Let me change a word in there. I don't want to change scripture, but how about we change the word serves to light? If anyone shines, he should do so with the light that God provides. You know, we are so often wanting to be like a light, but sometimes when we do so, we try to do so in our own strength. Our batteries, our electricity can run out. I think I was reminded real quick as I was out for a little while yesterday, and then I came when I came back home, I heard that the power was out there, and then wanted to do something else, and time after time it was like, oh, I'd like to do this. Oh, that's right, the computer isn't working. Oh, it's getting cooler in the house here. Can't turn up the heat now because the fan is run by electricity, and it got a little bit cooler and cooler. And I think I was reminded very quickly how much we depend on the light and on the heat and on the electricity that we have. Last Sunday, one of the themes that some churches used was waiting expectantly and faithfully, watching for God's activity and doing what he calls us to do. Today, the theme that I want to share is waiting for light and waiting in peace. And joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The angels gave a message of good news and great joy to the shepherds. The shepherds probably left right after the angels sung glory to God in the highest and made the little trek down from the outskirts of Bethlehem and found the baby. They didn't come with any gifts at all. They just came as they were, and they came right away. They came because of the great joy they were told about, or the joy that the wise men had. They were overjoyed that God led them. God had led them to Jerusalem. They thought that's where they had to go. No, they had to go to Bethlehem. God's light and God's joy and the hope that they had continued. And I think that as you take a look during this Christmas time and New Year's time, during the last week of Advent next Sunday, I hope that you are a people who say, God, thus far the Lord has led us, and he will continue to lead us. But until he returns and until he leads further, let's continue to be a people of love and joy and peace. Let's be a people who continue to encourage one another, share the stories of God's faithfulness, but look forward in hope. It's amazing how many families have more illnesses than I had realized. You just talk with people a little while and everything is okay, but you talk a little bit more and you hear about this one who has difficulty with health, this one in their family who has marriage or who has mental health issues or who has other physical concerns or spiritual needs or financial needs or needs in their community, in their jobs, among their neighbors, with their children, with their parents. The needs don't end. But let's be people who, as we share our needs, we also share our hopes. A lot of time when you get together with people and they share the needs that we have, it's easy to say, well, you have that need, I have this need too. Very important to share our needs and respond, but let's also be a people of hope and share that as well. Today we're waiting. We're actively waiting. We're called to serve. We're waiting for the light and for His peace. But really, it's the Spirit's work. It's the work of the Spirit that gives light. It's His peace. We're already standing, you might say, in the footprints of the Holy Spirit who goes ahead of us. And sometimes I find myself saying, God has called us to spread peace wherever we go, but as we spread peace, God's light is there too. Sometimes I find myself saying, what am I waiting for? It's His light that calls us to wait actively. Remember that old kid's song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine? Let our light shine. The battery in what we might have runs out of power on its own. But the power, what we find from this verse that I shared from 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if anyone serves, he should do so with the strength that God provides. So we not only ask for God to give us ways we can serve Him, but that His Spirit would give us the strength to serve. There are many different ministries and missions that you are part of, and there are many people that are very thankful for the different ways that you serve and that you give and that you encourage and that you have served physically before, and now you serve with prayer or finances, and many of you still serve in different capacities. I'm always surprised to hear people who serve in different local ministries and needs too. There are many people who still serve on boards and committees, many people who still serve with cleaning up and with serving. So when we take a look at what Christ has done for us, the source is eternal. It's everlasting. It's omnipotent. If the source of our peace and hope is Jesus Christ, then the source of strength doesn't run out, even when our physical strength does. It's a peace that passes all understanding. And sometimes people might ask, what are you doing, or why are you keeping up with that, or why are you serving, or they might even say, what's the use, or why bother? Well, I think one of the reasons that we have, that we can say and know so clearly, is that it's not my light. It's not my power. We are waiting until He returns, and our hope is built on God's love and faithfulness and power. We'll be faithful, and He will send the harvest in His way and in His time. It's His light that shows reality, and it's what guides. His light energizes and gives strength in the place of the lethargy around us or even in our own hearts. His light dispels the darkness because light and darkness cannot coexist. In the Old Testament, people were waiting. They were waiting for someone to speak out in the darkness. They were waiting that the gloom could be replaced by light. Yes, their hope was a bit, or sometimes more than a bit, offset. They thought this hope would mean that the Romans would be kicked out and they would have a kingdom established in Jerusalem like that of David's line, but God had something even greater in mind. The light is Jesus. The light continues in Him and through His Spirit. And we pray that that light would shine on us, that it would come into our hearts, and that we would share and shine it too. As you wait, be a people of hope, of peace, of light, of love, the different themes for the Sundays in Advent, and be a people of joy. Be people who share the hope that you have, the peace that passes all understanding, the hope that only comes from Christ, and let them see while you're actively waiting for His return, let them see your good works, that they may give glory to your Father in heaven. I think that comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. May we be people who show that the joy and the hope, the peace and the waiting and the light and the love make a difference. I've seen it already in many of you. I see it in different people too. Praise God that we can share it collectively in this particular way. in this Advent season. And as I look around at your sanctuary here, what a blessing to see the light, the decorations, the color coming out. But soon we enter a longer winter time. Be a people who encourage one another, who call and who reach out, because it's the Lord who's reached down to us by giving us His Emmanuel, His God with us, His coming. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your light in our darkness. Lord, we thank You that as we see the darkness around, we see the light as well. Thank You, Lord, for the anticipation of children and grandchildren, for Christmas and what's coming. Lord, on the many dark nights that we've had, as the wind was blowing so strongly last night, we wonder if the light will ever come. Lord, as we wait perhaps in the early morning, as the days are shorter, Lord, help us to be people who know Your peace, know Your light, and know Your leading. And Lord, if we've received that light, help us to share it. Lord, help us to let our light shine. Help us to serve faithfully. Help us to continue to pray for those in needs and to let people know how much we hope for the Lord's guiding and leading to be evident. Lord, we thank You for the different ministries and missions and ways that You shine here at Emmanuel, here in Whitby, here among our families. But Lord, we pray that You'd forgive us for when that light hasn't shone. We pray, Lord, that we might be people who see that light. Lord, we pray that we might be people who wait in anticipation, but serve as well. Lord, may we wait actively. In Jesus' name, amen.